So then we come to the 12th step of the 16 steps of Anapanasati, the practice of mindfully breathing in and mindfully breathing out. And the 12th step is breathing in, one liberates the mind. Breathing out, one liberates the mind. And so it's the 12th step out of the 16th. So it's usually said not to be the full, complete possibility of liberation that Buddhism champions. But it is a significant experience of freedom, of liberation, of letting go. That makes an impression on the mind, makes an impression on us. It's educational, it's opening, it's inspiring. It kind of begins pointing the way, oh, this is what the path is. This is really, you know, the direction of practice, the direction of this path that we're going on. It's like a door has opened, and now we know something we didn't know before. And remember, it's a 12th step. So what that means is that the first 11 steps are, in a sense, a preparation for this step. If we simply heard the only instruction for Buddhism is to let go, let go, let go, I don't know if that would be so useful for people to hear. And also, it might not give the right idea of what letting go is about. It might feel like, oh, I just let go of everything I have and have nothing as a result and be impoverished in some way. And if I let go, there's nothing left, and I'll just be kind of depressed and miserable or something. Letting go happens after the first 11 steps, which are preparing the ground and opening the field and setting up a sense of well-being, where letting go has a very wonderful context. And we understand the tremendous value of letting go because of the wholesomeness, the beneficial states that we're experiencing. So to kind of review this a little bit, how context is set up for letting go. So the practice begins with just simply mindfully breathing in and out, helping the mind calm down, helping the mind get focused, helping us to show up and be present for our experience. And I think for most people, that's where the bulk of the practice is. Even people who practice for a long time, they sit down to meditate, and they're at step one and two. And this idea that there's a progress and you're supposed to always be at the growing edge of this 12, 16 steps is a kind of just a unnecessary source of stress and a misunderstanding. And it's easy then to miss ourselves in the process and not really connect to ourselves. The idea in mindfulness practice is to really become ourselves, be ourselves, really be honest about what's here and learn how to rest and be present for it. And this idea of just breathing in and out through it all is a way of supporting us to not resist, not try to escape, not try to avoid what is here, but to really be present and face what's here and work through it. And just breathe with it and relax and heal and open up and release the things that have to be released. But as we do this practice, then at some point we begin feeling, recognizing that we can relax the body. Sometimes the body just relaxes itself in meditation. Often you don't have to do the relaxing, but the mind body becomes more tranquil, more calm, and that's feels like a good thing. And the more we practice, the more calm and relaxed the body becomes. As the body becomes calmer and more relaxed, let go of some of the tension we have. Some of the feelings of well-being can well up. The sense of contentment, ease, relaxation itself can bring a kind of joy and happiness. And so the practice begins kind of inching its way into feeling some joy, happiness, contentment, well-being. That sets the stage to better appreciate the tensions of the mind, the mental activity, how there's the stresses that are there. And so then the practice, when we start seeing that, we start relaxing the mental activities, calming the agitation of the mind, relaxing the mind, relaxing the mental muscle, the thinking muscle. And so the mental activities, which can be swirling around and be fragmented and be going off in different directions, begin to settle down, and the mental activity starts coming into harmony with itself and in harmony and unity with this settling process of meditation. And then we come into the third tetrad, all having to do with the mind, the citta. And the citta can be understood as the heart mind. It's kind of like our inner life. You know, it's would not be an appropriate Buddhist term, but maybe for way some people, some modern people use the word soul, kind of the deepest kind of places inside our psyche, inside of ourselves. It might also be the soul, kind of the mind, the heart, the mind heart, is you know what Buddhists talk about. And so we start recognizing that we have this inner life, this inner mind, this inner quality of life, the mood, state that's inside. And we start becoming the caretaker of that. And because of the earlier steps of Anapanasati, this begins to feel good to be connected to this deep, you know, if I use the Western word soul, to really, for some people, I think it really kind of feels like a homecoming more than if you say mind or heart. But this heart mind really feel, oh, this is good, this inner state, the state of being. And there can be a gladness, a satisfaction, a deep satisfaction, deep contentment of being home, being connected to something deep that's not kind of spinning around on the surface of our thoughts and ideas and scattered in our mind, but we're really starting to feel whole and unified. And that process of becoming unified and unscattered, undispersed, continues into the 11th step with samadhi, with unification, with steadying. This whole mind state comes and gets gathered together, and there's a lot of well-being that can come. Some of the greatest forms of joy and happiness come from samadhi, from a mind that's unified and settled and connected. So by the time we get to the step 12, letting go, liberating the mind, there's just a tremendous amount of well-being. There's a feeling of being really at home, connected. And so rather than letting go being an impoverishment, a diminishment of ourselves, we start really seeing that what we're letting go of is in fact what diminishes us, is in fact what impoverishes us. That there's something about the mind getting caught and preoccupied, obsessing about things, spinning around in thoughts and ideas, holding on to fear. Oddly enough, we can cling to fear. Clinging to resistance, clinging to all kinds of things that we resist and hold on to and cling for dear life, clinging to self and self-image, clinging to hurt, all kinds of things that people will cling to. But it's seen on this reservoir, on this foundation of well-being, of goodness, of freedom, of clarity. And so it's really clear that that clinging is a separation from that well-being. Letting go just feels like, of course I'll let go. The letting go is so obviously a diminishment, so obviously a source of suffering, so obviously a source of stress. Of course I'll let go. And so sometimes the letting go, the liberation that happens here, is so innate that it's not something we have to do. We just keep staying present, breathing with the experience, and just letting things be, letting things be, and something will just let go by itself, because it takes a certain kind of mental involvement to remain clinging. And if we just let things be, even our clinging, it will self-liberate at some point. The self-liberating capacity of all things. And so so we come to the 12th step, and we come to the time of liberation, of letting go. And it's at this point where some people find it just really a wonderful thing to just sometimes when you sit down to meditate, just let go, let go, let go. Just whatever arises, let it go. Let it be, let it be. Don't be involved, don't pick it up. Don't get reactive to it. Don't pull away. Just let go, let it be, let it be, let it go. And so we let go of everything. We let go of even mindfulness, being aware. We let go of self. We get let go of knowing. We let go of even letting go at some point. Just let go. And let go of being the agent of it. Let go of having an agenda. Let go of trying to be complete or getting enlightened even. Just let go. That's as if that's all there is. Let go of needing to let go even. Just wherever it is possible, the next moment, let go of this. Let go of this. So this 12-step of Anapanasati, breathing in, liberating the mind, breathing out, liberating the mind. So that's and that is the entryway to the last 4 steps of Anapanasati. And so letting go and liberation here is not the end of the story, but in some ways it's a beginning of a story. And sometimes it's said in kind of the folklore of Buddhism that the Buddhist path really begins when we have a qualitative experience of letting go, of liberation, that we know, oh, this is what it's about. This is what freedom is possible. This is what really feels good and feels inspiring and feels, this is worth. And this is such a qualitatively good experience, such a rich experience, such an experience that's filled with potential for compassion and love and freedom and goodness and lack of causing harm, wanting to cause harm in the world. This is a good thing. So that's where we are on this process, and we'll continue it on Monday and over this weekend. Why don't you talk to some friends about what they've learned about how letting go is useful and when letting go is useful. Have conversations about the benefits of letting go and how letting go can be done in wise ways, and look for opportunities to let go. Look and really sort of explore all the different dimensions that you can find of when and how and where letting go operates for you or can operate for you. And if we do that, then we'll have a better foundation for our continuing our adventure on next week, Monday. Thank you.